Well, friends, great to be with you this morning. My name is David Bassett. I'm the Senior Minister of the Grace Network, and we're going to look at Psalm 46 together. And as Kay made mention in the beginning of her prayers, a number of hymns have been written based on this psalm, including "The Mighty Fortress Is Our God." You'll know that last year was the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and while on holidays, I picked up this Reformation 500th celebration music box. A mighty fortress is our God.
Yes.
Indeed. A mighty fortress is our God, a great battle cry, isn't it? A victory cry, an anthem for God's people. God is our refuge and strength. Yet, is this our cry? Is this really our anthem? In this psalm, one that by its language and structure was written in a time of distress and difficulty, the psalmist reminds us of God's rule and predominance in one sphere after another. Talks about God's power, his power over nature and his power to protect his city and his power over warring nations and even his power over the world. And even though its tone attests to the crisis in which it's kind of written, it's all the more impressive, isn't it, when it clearly says God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Well, friends, I encourage you to have the psalm open in front of you, Psalm 46, if you're following the church Bibles, page 450. It starts with this great declaration, this great anthem. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Then verse 2, therefore we will not fear. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. Or we may say, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the heat soars over 40 degrees, although the fires blaze, though the climate changes, though floods and blizzards are raging. For nothing that nature can throw at us is beyond God. The psalmist declares, we will not fear. Can we say the same thing? Do we have this confidence in God? Is our God, the God that we're trusting, the God that we're worshipping, is the God that we believe in our heart, is this God the God who created the world and everything in it? Therefore, it's the God who has power over nature. Do we live as though this is our God? Do we hold firm to the reality that our God is the God who is the creator and sustainer of the world that he made? Is this reflected in the way that we think and the way that we act? Is it reflected in the way that we pray? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we need not fear, though the earth should change. Though the mountains shake in the heart of the seas, though the waters rage and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. And then the psalmist turns his attention to Jerusalem, back home, as it were. God's power over the strength of the attackers. Verse 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city, it shall not be moved. God will help It's when the morning dawns. The nations are in uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's a great play on words here. Those wild seas of verses 2 and 3, those amazing crashing waves. Now, those waters are a stream, a river flowing through the city of God, a river that provides for the needs of the city. You know, the whole sense and idea of the water to drink and irrigation for crops and beauty and leisure. Who doesn't love sitting by the side of a river having a nice picnic? It's a picture of tranquility, isn't it? And yet the city is under siege. The nations are attacking, but the psalmist proclaims the city will not move. The nations will crumble, not the city. Why? Well, because God is with us. The God of Jacob. A reminder of God's grace. God's grace in choosing to bless his people. God's grace in bringing about his will. God's grace in showing favour and mercy. This God is with us, and this God is our refuge. But the image of refuge here has changed from the beginning. It's not at the very beginning of the psalm when God is our strength and refuge, it's that refuge of a safe haven. Now the word that's used in refuge is more like a fortress or a high and strong tower that won't be moved. Even the city under siege can have confidence in God. Even the church under attack can have confidence in God. When our truths are questioned, we can have confidence in God. When our values are ridiculed, when our identity as God's people is scorned, God is still with us, isn't he? God is with us. God is in the midst of us. And so we have confidence. And so as those who affirm that we need to be saved, those who affirm that sin has hijacked us and we need grace from God to be restored as he intends, as he created us and he determines, we have confidence in this. For we have confidence in the gospel. We have confidence in what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So even in an ever-growing, the ever-growing hostility of the world around us, God is our strength and our refuge. Because of who God is, because of what God has done for us, we stand firm. The church, God's church, will survive, for God is in the midst of her, bringing us that unexpected gladness and refreshment. For he restores and he protects, for this is our God, the God of grace, the God of grace who has shown his kindness to his people in the past, to Jacob and his descendants, the God of grace who has come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of grace who gives us his Spirit to be with us and strengthen us. This is the God who provides help in the morning, who though the enemy is in uproar, that God acts and speaks and they just melt away. For our God has spoken, hasn't he, friends? The Word made flesh. We celebrate Jesus coming amongst us, to us, declaring us God's Word in its fullness. And God continues to speak through his written Word, through the Bible. This is our source of joy. This is the sustaining river of our God, his word among us. And so I suppose the question is this where we are seeking refreshment? Is this where we go to find solace? Do we go to God? Do we go to his word? So many people in the world go to all sorts of other things, don't they? The last thing they think to do is to be still and go to God's word. Go to God. And so the question, friends, as we begin this new year together, are you regularly drinking deep from God's word? Are you regularly drinking deep from God's word? Are you reading your Bible? Meditating upon it? Stopping? Not just thinking, oh, I've got to get through these five verses so I can get to the day. But actually reading and stopping and thinking deep on God's word. Are you discussing it with others? And are you applying it in your daily life? For in the word, we find our refuge and our strength. For in God's word, we are reminded of the greatness of our God. And we're given the means by which we can remain confident in our God, though the earth should change and though the nations around should be in uproar. We remain confident. And as we remain confident, we're able to be faithful as God's people, aren't we? And we're to be effective as God's people in declaring that this is our God. Well, the final stanza of the psalm from verse 8, I have to admit that for a long time I kind of read this wrong. I've loved this psalm for a long time. I've loved the hymns that have come out of this psalm for a long time. And I've often read this last stanza kind of wrong. I've kind of had the wrong emphasis. For some reason, I heard the calls in verses 8 and 10, that kind of come see and that be still. I've read them so often in a very passive voice. Almost like I'm to stop. It's almost like I've taken it. The psalmist he starts with his big crescendo. You know, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the earth change and the seas roars, and though the nations around are in uproar, now come see the works of our God and be still. I've been challenged as I've read it again and helped by the commentators to actually see that these commands, this come see and the be still, are strong commands. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. And now God addresses us directly. God speaks directly. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. And so the psalmist repeats his chorus. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This stanza is a vision of things to come. Indeed, the victories of the present, the protection and goodness of God are a foretaste of them. And the then come, behold, uses the language of the prophets, of the seers, to look into, to see, behold, to look into the future. And yes, look to the end where there's peace, but as we look in that, what do we see? We see the process. We see God bringing his judgment on the nations. He will bring a desolation upon the earth. See, it's not the warring of the nations, nor the enemy or evil that will cause the end. No, it's God who is the true king. God who is the powerful one. God who is the mighty one. The God over all. Nations might think that they decide their own fate and control others, but it is God who will bring an end to warring. And when he acts, it's decisive, it's definite, it's total. Last year we heard a lot of kind of, whether it be filibustering or just blowing of hot air between Trump and Kim Jong-un. But they're not the rulers in the end. Our God is. And we have confidence in our God. When our God speaks, it's a powerful word. It's a transforming word. It's a decisive word. Remember, God spoke and creation sprung into being. A powerful word of God. So as the storms of the world rage around us, we remain confident and trusting in God. Yet if I'm honest, so often I'm restless. I'm agitated by the events of the world. I question kind of faith sometimes and purpose. Nervous about the future. Society is not what it used to be. The rules seem to have changed, and the rules seem to be changing extremely fast. There are not the assurances that there used to be. The ways of God seem more and more foreign and more distant to others. The passage of time between when Jesus first came and, well, he hasn't come back yet. Can we still trust in this? The questions seem more urgent, don't they? As a new year dawns, we might ask, what's the point? We look around and we see a declining local church within Australia. We see society less and less shaped by God and the principles of Christianity and belief in God. We see wars raging not just between nations but within societies, and we hear the threat of war. And we see those raging wars within families and even within ourselves. We have magnificent breakthroughs in medicine and science. And yet disease and death still seem to have an upper hand. And so it's to us, in this state, now that God speaks, God says, be still. Be still and know that I am God. He commands, be still, with that same authority and that same force that Jesus used those same words when he calmed the storm on the sea. When he spoke to the storm and said, be still. And there was a great calm. Be still and know that I am God. Here is your refuge. Here is the calm in the storm of life. Know me, rely on me, trust in me, come to me. I am exalted above the nations. I am the high strong tower. I'm not toppled by the restlessness in the earth and the raging of the world, for I am God. I'll be exalted on the earth, and indeed, every knee will bow, and every tongue confess, I'm Lord. And so, having been reminded of the future, having a renewed understanding that our God is the God of all times and of all things and of all nations, the psalmist returns and says that great chorus, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, this God of grace, is our refuge. Well, we start with this. A mighty fortress is our God. Luther wrote that great hymn based on this psalm. In the late 1600s, another hymn was also written based on this psalm. The hymn goes, "Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways will lead to a joyful end." What confidence. Though there's all of life, what does the new year hold for us? Who knows? But we have a faithful God. A God in whom we trust. And we're to have confidence in this God, in his care and protection, in his strength and providence, that in any and every situation or trouble we find ourselves in, we need to hear afresh his command, "Be still and know that I am God." And we need to obey that command. The hymn goes on, "Be still, my soul. Your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be clear at last. Be still, my soul, the tempest still obey. His voice, who ruled them once on Galilee." Friends, as we move into the new year ahead, indeed, let us go with confidence. Let us go with the confidence in this God who is our strength and refuge. Let's not lose heart, but let us grow in confidence and so grow in witness and praise of our great and glorious God. Friends, would you stand with me as we sing, "Be Still."